The boy was wearing a thin spring jacket with yellow ducks on it. He had his eyes on the ice cream as it moved back and forth in front of his round little face. The gate opened slowly and they walked out together. The boy didn't say anything. He just wanted the ice cream. Before he knew it, the stranger picked him up and gave him the ice cream. He licked it eagerly. They walked up to a bluish-grey car, and the stranger opened the door to the passenger seat. The stranger buckled the boy into a car seat that looked very similar to the one in his parents' car. There was a teddy bear inside the car. The little boy picked it up with his free hand.
"Eddie,"
he said. The stranger nodded, walked around the car, and sat down behind the wheel. The car started and the little boy sat there with his ice cream. He looked happy, and the ice cream dripped down his chin onto his jacket, making the yellow ducks all sticky. When the boy had finished the ice cream, he started to cry.
"Mummy,"
he snivelled.
"Soon," the stranger said, and stroked the boy's hair. "There, there."
A couple of minutes later, the boy fell asleep.
"You're speaking to the police?" the operator said calmly. He assumed it wasn't anything too exciting. In his experience, most people who called the emergency services misjudged how serious their situation was.
My son,"
a voice said on the other end of the line.
"Yes," the operator said and stifled a sigh.
"My son is gone. He's been kidnapped."
The operator sat up straighter.
What's your name?"
"Molly Altenius. You must come right away. My son has been kidnapped,"
the woman screamed.
"What's your son's name and where are you?"
Hysterical woman, the operator thought.
"My son's name is Carl Axel Altenius. He's 2 years old and he's gone missing from his preschool in Linnéroux. I'm there right now."
The woman took a deep breath and the operator could hear she was trying her best to sound composed.
"I better take this seriously," he thought, and sat up even straighter. "I'll send a car," the operator said,
and asked the woman to stay on the line while he directed 2 units to the preschool, including the sergeant's car.
"Another case well handled," he thought.
When the police arrived at the preschool, they were met by an agitated crowd. A young preschool teacher and an equally young teacher's assistant stood next to the mother on the playground outside the school. They all looked confused and scared. The sergeant talked to them to get a better idea of what had happened. And then he called Lund to ask for more resources, as well as a forensics unit.
"How could you let Carl Axel disappear like this? How could you?"
Molly Altenius sobbed desperately. Her hair was a mess and her makeup was smeared across her face. Her chin trembled.
"We didn't let him disappear,"
the teacher said, defending herself while her colleague cried.
"We didn't let him go anywhere with anyone else. We'd been outside and suddenly he was gone. We have 15 children to keep track of."
She sounded as devastated as she looked.
"But he's gone and you let it happen. That's a fact."
"There is no point arguing now. We have to act," the sergeant said, looking serious.
The three women looked at him. The teacher's assistant kept crying. A moment later, another unit arrived at the school, as well as the canine unit. The dog sniffed the missing boy's clothes, and one of the teachers took the boy's photo down from the wall. Then the dog took off to search the playground and the surrounding area.
"Do you think Carl Axel would react negatively if anyone other than you or your husband came to pick him up from school?"
the sergeant asked Molly Altenius, who paced back and forth on the playground.
"I don't know. I guess so. Maybe not if he was..."